You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast.
All right, welcome everyone to the first premiere episode of Front Row Hoopcast, the show where we talk about nothing but Butler basketball, giving you the inside sources, hotly debated discussions, and everything in between. I'm your host, Ari Castle. I'm joined by Kevin Schwartz and Marco Tomic. You may know this man from getting lucky and hitting a half-court shot on national television, and you may know him from the guy who sits next to that guy. So, you know, we got the A-team right here, guys, and this top-notch set we paid $5,000 for. But, you know, the investment hasn't come back yet. But all that matters is that Butler basketball discussion can now take place. I mean, originally we were supposed to premiere on Wednesday, and thank goodness we didn't, because last night, the bombshell of all bombshells happened. Trayvon Blewett decommitted to UCLA, and all is right with the world because Butler is back in the fold. Marco, what was the immediate reaction? Let me see the thought process.
My immediate thought process, I got a text message later that last night, and when I went to go check Twitter, I first couldn't believe it that Trayvon Blewett is putting us back into his options. One of the most highly rated players that Butler's been looking at in quite some time, and it's just great to know that we're still in the mix. We still have a chance, and hopefully he comes join Butler Dogs.
I mean, let's rewind the clock here. We go back to when good old Brad was here. Trayvon was a shoo-in to come to Butler, okay? Brad had been working on him since he was in eighth grade, and I would have bet my left hand that he would have come to Butler. I was so sure, and then when Brad left, I was like, well, he's not coming here anymore. But, I mean, I still feel like Butler's got to be in the top two or three.
Absolutely. You know, Trayvon went out to UCLA and apparently had a great trip, but he had been talking about Butler all along. All we heard was that he wanted to stay close to home where his parents could be, and the reason he decommitted was that it was too far away, according to reports.
I was going to say, according to reports, but at the same time, UCLA had a lot of wing players there. They're recruiting guys. So I think Trayvon, you know, I think he wanted to be the man a little bit, and I felt like he was getting pushed to the side in UCLA. I think distance was a factor, but I don't think it was the only factor.
From things I've been read and looking at, some reports have been saying that he actually lost trust in UCLA because they had been looking at so many other wing players in his grade. And it just seems to be a common theme with Indiana players this year decommitting for just losing trust or having other players get recruited in the same position.
Interesting
as
you
them.
Say that. Why don't you read that tweet that you brought in today?
Yeah, I'd like to read a tweet from one of the crew from their Spies basketball team. It was included Trayvon Blewett, Jaquan Lyle, Trey Lyles, and James Blackman. And the tweet read, "I'm riding with y'all till the wheels fall off. Hashtag brothers." And this can mean quite a few different things because they have been recruited by a bunch of the same schools.
Here's what it means, all right? What do all five of those guys have in common? They all decommitted from schools at one point, and everyone's hating on them. So Trayvon's just saying, yo, I'm with you guys. We're the decommitment brothers. They're not all going to go to Kentucky or Louisville. Like, that's not happening, all right? No chance. Absolutely not. It was just showing their unity because they all decommitted. You know, I'm not concerned about it at all.
There's no way that's what that means. I mean, I can see at least a package deal coming from going to Louisville or possibly even Kentucky with Trey Lyles and Blackman or some sort of combo like that.
No, 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 no. No chance. There's no way. Louisville doesn't have the room. Kentucky doesn't want all those guys.
Kentucky has better guys than those.
I think even bigger than that, though, is the fact that these guys are highly rated players and they're decommitting from major programs and staying in the Midwest. Well, and in particular, leaving high-profile programs that have, you know, a history. You look at, you know, Blackman leaving IU, you look at Blewett leaving UCLA. Those are major programs that always have major recruits, and they no longer want to be a part of that.
But, I mean, are we upset that Blackman and Lyles decommitted from IU?
Absolutely
not.
No, a little interesting for the Trayvon situation. At this very moment, Keelan Martin is visiting Butler right now. He's very high on Butler. I'd bet he commits this weekend. And it just so happens that Keelan Martin and Trayvon Blewett are pretty good friends. A little more incentive to get him here? I think so. I think the class is going to end up pretty nice.
I mean, I think that the decommitment actually from UCLA helps us out a lot because by committing to UCLA, it gave him the time to other schools to go out and look at other players, like such as Michigan was in the fold early, and a team that I was actually worried about sneaking up and taking Trayvon, even while we had Brad here, they were still kind of a threat. And now that when he committed to UCLA, they were forced to go out and find a new player. Signing new players in his position, they're no longer really looking to fill that spot. And I think that the decommitment actually helped us out quite a bit.
He's right.
Absolutely. You know, when you've got a lot of players at the same position on the same team and they're high quality, there's a lot of frustration in that locker room. There's no way you want to be on the bench if you've been the man growing up throughout your high school career.
They're saying it's between Xavier and Butler for Trayvon. Purdue may be mixed in there a little bit. But here's the thing. Look at Xavier's roster. They got like six guys who play his position in the 2013 class and 2014 class. If he wants to be the man, he is not going to Xavier to sit on the bench. He comes to Butler, the door is open. And he'd be looked at as, he would be a messiah. The BU faithful would love him if he came to Butler. He'd be the man.
There's nothing better than a hometown kid story, especially than when they can actually make an impact on the court right away. I think that the Final Four being in Indianapolis in a couple years is a big deal as well. Why would you not want to take your hometown team back to the championship?
I just think that even with all those people in Xavier, they still have a shot, because are all those people that are there now better than Trayvon Blewett? I mean, he's quite the talent, and just because there's other people there doesn't mean it's going to stop him from looking there. It doesn't mean it's going to stop Xavier from recruiting him to try and go there hard, though.
All right, final point. Give me the odds, Trayvon. Percentage Trayvon comes to Butler.
75%.
I want to say 83%.
100%. He is coming here. I'm calling it right now. Put it in the papers, all right? It's happening.
Christmas is coming early.
Oh, Hanukkah is coming early this year, baby. All right. Off the Trayvon bandwagon for a little bit. Let's get back to more just general Butler basketball topics. Obviously, unless you're living under some sort of rock this offseason, it's been long and it's been tough.
Miserable.
Miserable is a good word to say. Obviously, Brad leaving sucks. We don't need to talk about that. It happened. It's done. I think I speak for all three of us when we wish him absolutely nothing but support.
Absolutely.
It stinks to lose him, but, you know, we're all Celtics fans now. I'm going to be rooting for him hardcore, and I'm all in on Brandon Miller.
You know, I was really, really caught up in the whole coaching search, because I think LaVall, especially when we kind of realized that
LaVall Jordan.
LaVall Jordan, when he was being recruited as one of our possible coaches, and we knew that we had lost Trayvon at that point, him having an inside track with Trayvon at Michigan was a big deal, because we know what kind of player Trayvon is, and I've got a friend who works for the paper at Michigan who follows the basketball team and covers them, and he said the players absolutely love the guy. He's a great recruiter, great basketball mind, and he knows the game well.
Little backstory on LaVall Jordan. He's the assistant coach in Michigan right now. Played at Butler.
Coached
at Butler for a little bit. He's at Michigan now, known as a great recruiter, player developer, Trey Burke, Tim Darius Hardaway, Moore. Darius Moore. Yeah.
And Robinson.
So it was between him and Brandon Miller for the job. And so did you have a preference?
You know, at first I was looking quite a bit at LaVall Jordan, and I've looked into it a little bit more. I can feel safe to say that I feel like we made the right choice with Brandon Miller. The fact that he was here already for a few weeks, some of the players loved that already before they even knew Brad was leaving. Brandon had already been signed to be assistant coach for this upcoming year. So those extra weeks that he was here on campus gave him a little bit of extra time to meet with the players, be with the players. They felt comfortable around the players. He had coached with Brad before when he was assistant here. And I just feel like they run similar systems. They'll be able to put out similar outputs. And I think they're quite similar coaches, but Brandon's not going to try and be the next Brad Stevens. He's going to try and be the next Brandon Miller and the next great coach of Butler basketball.
People are saying we should have gone after LaVall because Trayvon. You don't hire a coach to potentially get one recruit. I was against that all the way. I'm all in for Brandon Miller. Now, you know, we're all in on Brandon Miller here, but going back to Brad Stevens, Kevin, why don't you describe what made Brad Stevens so good? Because a lot of people don't really know.
The thing about Brad is, we talked about all the time how nerdy he was in a basketball sense. I mean, the guy sat in a classroom or his office and just watched film, and he's the first person to hire a stat guy like Drew Cannon, who comes in and can give you the stat, if Cody Zeller's got a defender between him and the basket and they're not in the fast break, he only makes a shot 11% of the time. I mean, who else plays that kind of percentages and then incorporates that into the team, you know, scheme? And on top of that, Brad was great at drawing up plays out of timeouts, and he had complete faith in everybody on the roster to make a shot when it counted. There are a lot of coaches who will give it to their best player every single time, and you know, unless you've got Kobe or LeBron out there, they're going to shoot a low percentage. But if you run a great play and get a wide open layup under the basket for someone, even if they're unknown, you're going to be able to win that game.
We all love Brad, but you know, a lot of the Butler people have, you know, the Butler goggles on. They see Brad, he can do no wrong, the man is perfect. Let's be clear here. The man was an amazing basketball coach. In my opinion, the best X's and O's coach in basketball.
Absolutely.
But there were a few things he was not great at, and one of those things is recruiting. And when I say not great, Kevin, why don't you want to take this one? You have the strong opinion on this.
The thing about Brad is he's a very kind of quiet guy. He's not going to push the system. He's not going to go after bigger name recruits because I feel like he's worried about egos. I think that he's looking for pieces to fit into a system, which absolutely works when you're playing in the Horizon League or the A-10. But now that we've made this jump to the Big East, we're not going to be able to compete on a regular basis with these major programs if we don't have the athleticism, if we don't have the speed, if we can't play hard-nosed basketball. And I think it would have been very difficult under Brad to be able to get some big-name recruits in the first couple of years before we could prove ourselves. And I think that Brandon Miller is a plus because he's going to push the envelope a lot more than a very conservative Brad would have.
I disagree completely because I think that Brad Stevens was already looking forward to that. He knew that we needed more athleticism, the quicker players, the higher-rated players. That's why he's looking at Trayvon Blewett, Trey Lyles. Some people may not have thought Trey Lyles was ever going to come here, but at least he was looking at Trayvon Blewett. He's been looking higher. I mean, yeah, early on in the Horizon League in the A-10, he wasn't looking at the highest recruits. I mean, Kellen Dunham was, I want to say, in the 70s, and now he's pushing for Trayvon Blewett. I feel like he was pushing for that. I mean, Brandon Miller's just inheriting that recruiting job of Trayvon Blewett pretty much. I think that he was looking forward to advanced people and that he was working on his recruiting. I mean, being here for how many years that he was, he had the X's and O's down. And I think he was just completing his game just like he wants all of his players to have complete games.
Yeah, but, you know, when you look at recruitment, there's a lot of things that go into it just besides being a basketball player. You look at a 17, 18-year-old kid, the first thing on their mind might be winning games, but the second's the clothing that they're going to get or the equipment room where they're going or how they're treated on campus. And Butler's at a disadvantage in that way. There's a quote from Brad Stevens, and I'm going to paraphrase it here because I don't know exactly, but you can find it in Hinkle on the display case. It says, not every kid walks into a 80-year-old gym and says, wow, this is cool, but that's the kid we want. But at the same time, if you're not going to let Nike provide you that awesome alternate jersey that we love to see on TV when other teams wear them and go, that's so cool, kind of like when Gonzaga wore against us, a lot of these kids are going to go, well, I can win games at a lot of different schools, and I'm going to be kind of put on a pedestal at a bigger university, so why pick here over there?
You both make good points. Mark, I understand when we're saying top recruits, we're meaning like the 4 or 5-star guys that are on Rivals and ESPN. And Brad did not care about any of that. He didn't look at the Rivals rankings at all. He looked for guys who would fit his system and did what he did. And you know what he has? 2 Final Four rings. Okay? I can't criticize the man for being a bad recruiter. He's got the rings to show for it.
Absolutely. But you look at what Butler does with player development. They take players who on paper are good players. They're not great players by any means. They're not highly recruited by these national programs. And he turns them into stars. So can you imagine what he would do with a Calipari lineup? We might go 32-0 and then run the tournament. That's what I want to see out of Butler basketball. I want to be the Duke of the Midwest. I want to dominate every team, and I want to be a national championship contender every single year. We don't have that right now.
If you're worried about Brandon Miller get that, though?
Yeah, if you're worried about player development, I mean, and we're all in on Brandon Miller. Why wouldn't you be all in on Lavelle Jordan, who's, like we said, one of the better player developers? He's proven player developer, where Brandon Miller was early on his coaching career stuck behind the videotape squad.
I hate when people say it just because, okay, here's my opinion why they chose. Okay, first of all, Barry Kyler is a smart man. He's a very smart
absolutely.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the deal. My opinion on Lavelle versus Brandon Miller. We get Lavelle, maybe we get a shot at Trayvon and top recruits. We take Brandon Miller. How many players left after Brad Stevens left? He committed from Butler. 0.
None.
I think that's the reason. I think we would have got Lavelle. Nolan Berry and I might not be here right now. Rene Castro might not be here right now. They might have walked out of their scholarships.
They might still be here. They might give Lavelle time to meet them, have a sit-down conversation. They might be staying just for him or be a little bit more excited, someone they can relate to.
I think it was a win-win situation. I just think initially when I had heard the basic information and, again, having an inside track at Michigan, it was hard to go against Lavelle and what he could have done and brought to the program because if you think about it, we already had Brandon Miller on staff.
Brandon Miller's here. Off-season trip to Australia happened. We got the cumulative box score ahead of us. We went 2-2 on the trip, played the Australian national team. Kevin, what are some stats on there that really pop out at you?
Number one, Kellen Dunham going 19 for 54 from the field, only shooting 35%. You watch those games, you watch the highlights of those games, he was great, then he was awful, then he was great, then he was
0-9 in one performance from behind the arc. I'll tell you this. I heard from the players I talked to, who, I mean, we all talked to them, Kellen looked like a boss on that trip. I hear he was playing incredible. You know, the numbers might not show it, but, you know. Yeah, he shot 27% from three-point land. You really think he's shooting 27% when the season comes along? I'll tell you the stat that popped out at me. Where is Cameron Woods? 10.3 rebounds per game? Man is getting some lunch money. Good gracious. If he averages, what did he average, 6 points a game? If he averages 6 points, 10 rebounds a game in the Big East, wow, I'll be very happy with that.
Absolutely, and I think that if he does that, he might even find his way into the starting rotation by the end of the year.
I think he'll start day one.
You think so?
It'll be Barlow, Dunham, Kyle, Cam, Fromm. Who's I mean, with Rose out, which we didn't even get to that yet.
Cam could possibly play the three. I mean, it's definitely a possibility. I mean, that's one thing that they might be looking at. It's all up to what kind of system we're looking to run now with Brandon Miller. I mean, we could run a Cam at the three, or we could possibly try and go a little bit smaller, run Kellen at the three, and put in another extra guard, and hopefully give one of these younger guys a look. Maybe Rene Cash or Devontae Morgan, who's been stepping up this summer, and Elijah Brown, who at first, in the first look of his game, it wasn't looking too hot, going 0 for 5. Maybe that was just a little bit of nerves first game, trying to get out there, thinking a little bit too much about his shots. And I think that the early playing time for some of our freshmen, because there will be early playing for a couple of these guys, it can either be beneficial or it can hurt them a lot. Because if we stick them out there right now in the Big East and they get eaten up alive, what's that going to do for their confidence?
Hey, the only way you get better is by playing.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Going off your point with the confidence issue, we're playing major basketball programs with major basketball fan bases. You think that you go out there and you have a couple rough games that those student sections are not going to get on those guys and make them go absolutely crazy? Whether they're in their game or sitting on the bench, they won't hear the end of it. And that's very tough to deal with, to keep a level head at such a young age.
All right, last point, Roosevelt Jones injury. It sucks. Wrist, that was a heartbreaker. Who steps up? Give me a name.
Are you looking guard, post player?
What do you think from here? It's a little concerning to me that I asked for just one player to step up. You guys can't name anybody?
I mean, I definitely think Kellen Dunham's going to be able to step up this year. The question is whether is he going to step it up to that next level, to that shoulder we can lean on like we did a little bit with Rodney Clark towards the end of the last year, or is he going to be forcing things a little bit too much? I want him to step up, but I don't want him to force.
Andy Smithers. I got to go with Andy Smithers. And the reason I'm saying this is because I hear reports all the time from these players about in practice how he is unstoppable on the offensive end.
He can't play defense.
We need scoring. You put him in for short spells. We've seen him light people up. We've seen they weren't the best opponents.
Oakland City, good.
We know that he can make a three ball at any time.
I hope most of our team can make a three ball at any time. We're stacked.
Well, we need to make the three ball if we're shooting 63% from the free throw line. I can tell you that much.
All right. Well, we'll wait till the season gets started, and then we'll talk about more performance. It's hard to judge off Australia games that we're getting the rotation together.
Andy Smithers.
I mean,
Agent Zero.
Oh boy. All right. I think we covered it. I'm exhausted. I think for Mr. Schwartz, Mr. Tomich, and myself, I think it was a good first episode of Front Row Hoopcast. Join us next time. We're talking about future topics, include the Butler recruiting boards. Oh, boy. Title BU, I'm coming for you. Brandon Miller, the team, recruiting, everything. For all of us, IU sucks. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.